Hey everybody, welcome to Objection, the worldwide leader in contrary a-holery. You know, this is a very important holiday that we're going to be broadcasting on here because really Dan Mancini, who's obviously my partner in contrary a-holery, the old white man cabal is very interested in promoting this holiday, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, yeah, it's probably their number one holiday.
I think so.
Other than maybe Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving might be their actual number one.
But. And Columbus Day, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. They're big on that one, too.
Big on Columbus Day. But, yeah, it is Father's Day. This is our Father's Day special, like we typically do with these podcasts. We take a break from the, you know, the abject contrary a-holery and do a little fun with whatever holiday falls within our orbit. And because it is Father's Day, and actually both of us are fathers, you're more along in your development and your character progression, I suppose, you know, to use a, maybe use a Fallout term or something, but we're both fathers here, and we thought we would do a little countdown of some of our favorite badass fathers, because we believe fathers should be badass, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Even if we may not be badass ourselves, we'd like to strive towards that. And I think the dudes we're going to talk about here represent a gold standard for, you know, regular schmoes like me and you, Dan, to persevere towards.
Right. And one of the beauties of fatherhood really is that even if you're not badass, there are, you know, at least one, if not more, small people who believe that you are.
That's true.
For various reasons. So,
absolutely.
There you go.
That's a great point. So we're going to kind of keep this short and sweet because I think we have to do fatherly things. Like, I think you've got a Cubs-Yankees game you need to check out, right?
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
I got to grill myself a hamburger. So we're going to we're going to rip right through these. So it's a mini countdown of our favorite badass dads from movies. And we're going to start with an honorable mention, Dan. So why don't you just kick us off?
Yeah, I mean, no list of badass dads would be complete without mentioning, of course, Darth Vader.
Absolutely.
Kind of the ultimate badass dad in some ways. Not ultimate on this list, but
see, his badass cinemas. Yes, his bad dad is very, it's kind of limited, you know? It's,
yeah.
Like, you know, certainly not, I mean,
he's maybe too badass.
That's true.
Dad, you know, he kind of crosses some lines there, but still, you know, I mean, Vader is whatever, some sort of Norwegian language for father. So he actually has father in his name.
Interesting. Nice.
You know, he's wears a black helmet all the time and face mask. You can hear him breathing and he can choke people with the force.
Now, here's a question. We do know that he eventually softens up. You know, he gets Luke in the brain. He softens up a little bit. He sacrifices himself. Then we get his helmet off and kind of the awe disintegrates a little bit.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like a phallus when he takes his helmet off.
Yes.
But when would you say, and obviously we won't get into the prequels. He wasn't a father then. So obviously he was like a whiny little douche a lot of those times, but
yeah.
What do you think is the sweet spot for Vader badassness in the trilogy?
Pretty much the entire length of Empire Strikes Back.
So I would say even
Vader badass
beginning of Star Wars from A New Hope to the end of Empire Strikes Back, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's badass throughout the original. Just, you know, tearing through rebels and choking dudes and
interrogating.
And,
choking Imperial officers that are above his pay grade, right?
Right. But, you know, then in Empire, he really goes, you know, then he starts offing admirals who displease him, you know, and then replacing them immediately with the guy who's standing right next to him. And,
see, now this
you know,
is
stuff like that.
You bring up an interesting point. My dad always had, speaking of Father's Day, here's a shout out to my dad and his film criticism, but he always had a problem with Vader's sudden redemption just because he felt Vader, like, and I think Empire personifies this, he was so effing evil. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was so evil that his quick turnaround, it was always like a sticking point for my dad. I had that distinct, there's a father memory for it. I had that distinct memory of him, you know, like, because it was just, the Return of the Jedi, he never gets to those depths of, like, I mean, I don't think he starts, he's not a homicidal maniac, he is an Empire, you know?
Right.
But that was always a bone of contention, because, I mean, it's a testament to his badassness in Empire.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure that hurling the Emperor down that that energy chute or whatever it is that he throws him down, reactor thing, quite makes up for the genocide of everyone on Alderaan.
That's right. <You know? laughs> That's right. We do. Those are some little, as he watched approvingly, right?
Right.
I mean, you could go back a little bit if you know, the murder of the Jedi children, I suppose. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
The countless rebel pilots he picked off when he was studying it, when he was the stud in the TIE fighter in the original. So.
Right. I mean, you know, he shot down Porkins. I think it was him who shot down Porkins. I'm still kind of bitter about that because, you know.
Little bits of Porkins meat on his windshield. You know?
Yeah. You know.
I mean, he personally oversaw the torture of Han Solo, right? I mean, that was.
Yeah. That was brutal. They didn't even ask him any questions.
That's right. You know? And he was, and like in Empire, not only was he badass, he was a dick too, because he kept screwing over Lando, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. He kept changing the terms of the deal, you know? I remember in college, we couldn't remember whether, cause we rented it on, VHS one time when there was a blizzard. We decided, oh, we got to see Empire Strikes Back. So we walked to the video store, rented it, came back. We hadn't seen it in quite a long time. And, like during the first act of the movie, I think somebody said, does Darth Vader actually say the word Wookiee in this movie? Cause I would love to hear James Earl Jones's voice say that word, you know, none of us could remember. And then during the Han Solo freezing part, he says, you know, take Princess Leia and the Wookiee to my ship.
That's good.
And we erupted into applause and, you know, we were thrilled. I think, you know, we were a little snowbound at the time and probably a little stir crazy. But, it's just an awesome movie. Nice. Top to bottom. And he's badass.
He is. Absolutely. So, all right. So there you go. Shout out, like the necessary shout out.
Yeah.
The prerequisite. So now a little mini countdown proper. So our three favorite badasses, and we've talked about these guys before in some effect, but these guys all represent leading roles in movies that once we talk about them, we probably want to watch straight through once we're done with this podcast, you know? So once we hang up, like, these are the kind of movies that we just want to sit back and rewatch in a marathon, and it's because of these guys. So number three, you probably got that info open right now. So who's our number three badass dad?
Yeah, not a badass name. I can't remember his name.
It's nondescript.
Brian Mills.
Now, Brian Mills. Who would a Brian Mills be? You know, I mean, like an
insurance salesman.
Insurance salesman. Yeah. Gaffer, perhaps. Yeah,
something like that. The dad in Taken.
Of course.
Played by Liam Neeson. Awesomeness. Definitely if you're a dad. This is what the three guys we're going to talk about, really, all of them are what you should aspire to be. But
and they all have daughters, by the way, too.
Yeah.
They're all driven a lot by the protection of their daughters.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is a key element that we'll probably get into because probably the protection of daughters is, above all else, could potentially drive you into a murderous rage.
Yes. That is why I would, 16 years from now, I'm answering the door with a pipe wrench in my hand.
Like, yes.
My daughter, exactly. Prom date, right. So Brian Mills Taken. I mean, really what more needs to be said except for he's kind of like a pathetic doormat for the first 15 minutes, 20 minutes, right? Just kind of desperately trying to gives her a karaoke machine and then she gets a horse from her stepdad, right? And just constantly gets overruled by his estranged wife and the daughter just kind of takes him for granted, doesn't think that much of him. And then when the shiznit hits the fan, it just is – I don't know, for about, 50, I don't know, more than that, 60 minutes, 70 minutes, it is just unending badassness.
Yeah, just top to bottom. Him predicting that he's going to do things and then doing them violently.
Yes, following through, boldly predicting and following through.
Yeah.
You know?
What could be better?
Unlike Daniel Sedin, for example, but that's just a shout out to the Bruins, one of the Stanley Cups. So that's my egregious mention. So obviously, and then just what transpires from that phone call scene, which was in the trailers and which immediately got my ears perked up and really kind of set, that's really, he turned, like, Liam Neeson is such an underrated action star that he really turns it on in that one scene and just becomes this lethal killing machine where you really knew from that point forward he was not going to be denied, you know?
Right. And at first, you know, you really didn't have any clue that he was capable of all this.
Absolutely.
At the time when he takes the call. So it's great. And that movie has, we've discussed two scenes repeatedly on this podcast from two different movies, both of which we're going to discuss again today, that have these two scenes provide moments, like kind of split second moments that we both love, where a villain realizes
yes.
that he is about to die.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, absolutely. the look on his face, right? The deer in the headlights look, you know.
Exactly. And yeah, this movie has that moment of the dude realizing this is the guy that he talked to on the phone.
Yes.
And the guy is actually doing everything he said he was going to do.
That's right. Then he looks up right when when Brian breaks in, you know, I think the Armenians or Albanians maybe, I think.
Yeah.
He breaks into there, you know, he says, "I told you I would find you." That's a look. The next, you know, flash forward a little bit and he's getting the truth massaged out of him, I guess is a nice way to put it, right?
Yes.
in a hugely OWMC approved way.
Yes. Yeah.
Getting his quadriceps electrocuted, and then he's just left.
Yeah, that dude is basically wishing that he was being waterboarded.
Yeah, that's true.
Throughout that scene.
So, and it just really just picks up from there. So as, you know, Brian gets closer and closer to his daughter's captors and penetrates each level of villainy, you know, as represented by a different ethnicity. I mean, it's really the UN. He just takes on the entire UN, you know. So
yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's all race, color, and creed that he just destroys.
Which is accurate. I mean, you know, if your daughter is taken, then pretty much any kind of ethnic, racial, or national bounds will be broken
right.
in order to do whatever you have to do. So, you know, it's a pretty accurate. Everybody becomes a melting pot.
That's right.
At which you can direct your violence.
And then some of them literally melt, actually, too.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's just the movie where the protagonist motives are absolutely pure, and every bad guy deserves everything they get coming to him.
Yeah,
everything.
That's fantastic.
Like the only nuanced, possibly the only guy with the nuance is, remember, the dude says, "Wait, I have a family. It's only business." And then he just gets shot 8 times in the elevator. That's it.
Yeah.
Beyond that, they're all just these evil DBs who just get totally wasted. So.
Right.
So well done, Brian. All right, number two, another movie that I believe that made our big action movie countdown way back when, right?
I think it did, yeah.
I think it
did.
If not, we may God strike us down now. But none other, and he definitely has the best name out of everyone. Don't
yeah.
you think?
I mean, yeah.
I mean, I would say this name is even better than Darth Vader. So, and it is John Matrix from Commando.
Yes. Absolutely.
And obviously his daughter, played by the lovely Alyssa Milano, which is established. They have this very close relationship in the beginning where there's that scene where he and his daughter are feeding a deer out of their hands.
Yes.
And then from there it just goes downhill, literally, because he gets in a Jeep and drives downhill and chases.
Chopper lands in their backyard.
Yep.
Yeah.
And his daughter gets scooped up and they're gone. And then from there it's just John Matrix uncorking a can of whoop-ass on anyone he runs into.
Right. And it would be just mind-blowing, you know, like blowing the top of your head off type mayhem, except that they do add in Radon Chong to be kind of the audience surrogate to freak out and question everything that he's doing.
That's right. I mean, and just like, obviously that movie is iconic for the one-liners because it probably has Schwarzenegger's, I mean, as far as you know, a movie with the best Schwarzenegger one-liners crammed into the runtime, that's got a best per capita, don't you think?
It is fantastic.
Classic ones. Great final bad guy scenes. Hard R. Dudes getting saw blades thrown into their heads. And just...
Let off some steam, Bennett.
Jumping out of an airplane, which is... And landing in a swamp. That was one of my favorites.
You know? Yes. Jumping out of a commercial airliner.
Yes. After it's probably reached peak altitude, you know, he's dead tired. You know,
yes.
So many fantastic ones. So
you promised to kill me last.
Yes. You know. Like, I think in that movie, one of my favorite stunts is he swings the length of a mall on, like, a streamer, I think.
Yeah, he tears a streamer in half. It's kind of like the John Belushi scene at the end of Animal House. except more serious as an action scene. And it is, you know, it is Arnold, like, at the peak of his powers.
That's absolutely right.
You know, I mean, he's just completely cut. He's gigantic in the movie.
That's right.
he's just a gigantic slab of beef in
yes.
that movie.
Of one line spouting.
Murderous beef.
Murderous beef, yes. Yes. So, I mean, it may be a little more playful, I suppose, in the first one, but again, the motivation is pure, right? So he is, yes. He wants his daughter back, and then, I mean, what a stupid tactical error on those. I mean, they only had a small army and a fortified island nation, right? That's nothing.
Yeah, and I mean, this is, we've discussed this before in the past, too, in talking about these movies, but because this is kind of a subset, it's a father subset of those movies that I love, which are you have messed with the wrong guy.
Yes.
Movies. And there are many of them, beginning with Die Hard.
Right.
You know, just awesomeness. Where everything would have been fine, except you got the wrong guy involved, and now he's going to make you suffer for it.
All right. Well, like I said, we're plowing along nicely here. So this is our last one, and we seem to have to mention this movie in every podcast. But again, this is the default answer pretty much in anything, any rhetorical question we put out there, you know, related to this genre of film. This is usually the default question. This is like the C in your high school multiple choice question. When in doubt, choose C. And when in doubt, when you're doing a countdown of badass anything, choose sudden death.
Yes.
The 1995 actioner starring Jean-Claude Van Damme as Darren McCord, who is our choice for biggest badass dad in the history of film entertainment.
Right, because he is sort of like Brian Mills and John Matrix combined into one person.
But and even though those guys did some amazing things, what he pulls off, I think, I mean, there's actually more collateral damage at stake for what he does.
You know? Yeah.
So his daughter's at risk, and his dopey son, but he's annoying. His daughter's at risk for sure, but if he fails in his quest to save his daughter, like, a lot more people will die.
Yeah, there's a whole hockey arena full of people.
Including the vice president and the Pittsburgh Penguins, who I'm sure Mike Rubino would not be happy to see get wasted. So.
No, yeah. Yeah, it would be very sad. And I've heard, was that Mellon Arena that was shot at?
Whatever the old one was. Unfortunately, I do not know.
There are rumors that I think have been partially denied about destroying some kind of stadium in Pittsburgh during the shoot for Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, that's right.
They're actually going to blow up some kind of, you know.
Fantastic.
But then they've come out and said, no, that's not true. But then, you know, I don't know. They might be lying anyway. That's far afield, but it would be awesome if there was some sort of Dark Knight Rises, sudden death connection.
Boy. That'd be great. Hopefully Christopher Nolan's as big a fan as us. So,
and hopefully Batman, there's some kind of scene with Batman dressing up as a goalie.
That's right.
And blocking a shot.
Or tossing one of his batarangs at the mascot. You know,
Yeah.
So why is Mr. McCord so deserving? Well, there's a couple reasons. For me, one, compared to those other guys, like, he's more unassuming. He's a firefighter, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's
former firefighter, traumatized and now unable to continue on in his job.
He's not special forces like the other two guys were, you know? So theoretically he doesn't have this training to use these situations. He's also going up against Powers Booth, right? Doesn't that say something?
Yeah. It's Powers Booth at his most mustache twirling.
Absolutely.
I mean, even more so than Tombstone. I mean, sudden death, he's
more
scenery even more than he does in
way
Tombstone.
More diabolical, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean he I mean, it's just, you know, it's just him. You know. Although I guess those other guys had some help, but you know, John Matrix was able to arm, and he had Radon Jong for sure, you know.
Yeah.
Brian Mills had his CIA buddies calling favors, tracking things down, you know. It was just McCord running around with a super soaker out there, you know.
Right, and incompetent cops.
Worse than incompetent cops.
Yeah.
Traitorous cops. Working against them. Absolutely. Yeah.
And like Brian Mills, he starts off the movie as a sad sack who's completely emasculated in front of his children.
Yes.
You know, absolutely. by his ex-wife's new husband.
That's right. And
he, you know, he is working as a fire marshal at game 7 of the NHL finals between the Penguins and the Blackhawks, and the vice president is going to be there, and so he's given tickets at the last minute, and he comes to get his kids to see if they would like to go see the game, and his wife gives him nothing but crap for not arranging things ahead of time.
Yes. You know,
and everything, and reads him the Riot Act, and then his, you know, her new husband is completely condescending.
Right.
Because of the fact that, you know, they act like he just became a coward as a firefighter, even though he was trying to save this little girl. And, you know, the roof of a burning building basically fell in on him, and he survived, but the little girl didn't. And so he's unable to continue on as a fireman. But somehow everybody acts like, you know, he just wussed out. You know, it's no big deal. He should just get over it. Get back to being a firefighter.
I mean, and taking even the broader context of achievements. I mean, you can't sneeze. Brian Mills took apart the white slavery ring in Paris, right?
Yes.
John Matrix took apart that communist fortress fortified island. You know, this guy saved the vice president.
Yeah. Played by Raymond Gibbons.
Raymond Gibbons' father, absolutely. Arlo Gibbons. You know, obviously he saved all those people. He made the game-winning save, right?
Yeah.
The Penguins.
Yeah.
Let's forget that.
In the midst of saving the vice president.
Yes.
He takes time out to, yeah, dress up as a goalie and save the game for the Penguins.
So, I mean, the scope of what he accomplished. So he was taking care of stuff. I mean, you could argue that what Matrix and Mills did, as awesome as it was, it's in their wheelhouse, don't you think? I mean, that kind of stuff, it's in their wheelhouse. I mean, Mills himself says, I'm very good at what I do. Right?
Right.
Obviously,
right.
John Matrix is very good.
John Matrix is the best.
I mean, he's the best.
They land helicopters in his backyard to come and beg him to come back.
That's right.
And do missions. He's so awesome.
See, that's why McCord gets a nod, because nobody was expecting him to be this great. Another shout out to the Boston Bruins Stanley Cup winners 2011. But anyway, so, I mean, just amazing. No one expected that he'd had this inside him to accomplish
right.
this.
Right.
To play goal. So much. The acrobats on top of the acrobatics on top of the arena.
Yeah.
You know, he's taking out snipers.
I mean, he kills a guy with a chicken bone.
Kills a guy with a chicken bone. He diffuses bombs, right? He's running around diffusing high-tech bombs. He sets an FBI agent on fire. And, of course, pounds Livingston out of a giant female Amazon penguin mascot.
Yeah, she's about 7 feet tall.
Kicks a guy in the...
This is a penguin.
Kicks a guy in the head in full... goalie regalia.
Yeah.
If you've never seen, I mean, that's an amazing feat. So, just a true Renaissance man, right? The true example of a dad, you know, excelling at both science, right, with the defusing of the bombs,
right.
Athletics, he's playing goalie, courage.
And he lays down the law with his kids.
Lays down the law. Yeah. That's right. And the kid listens. That's how great a father is, right?
You sit if this entire arena is falling down around you.
And it is. That place is exploding and riots are happening. That kid listens to his freaking dad. And then I go to that scene, you're talking about, right? The look of, wow, I'm going to die horribly.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah, Powers Booth in the helicopter.
Classic
helicopter. Plunging to his death on the ice.
Helicopter gone vertical. Absolutely. So
that's fantastic.
Have we mentioned this is not Blu-ray? This is not on Blu-ray. Have we mentioned that yet?
It really needs to be. And it needs to have a commentary by us.
Yes, absolutely. So please pay attention.
Badly.
All right. And that, I think, does it, Dan. I think we've got a point. And it's actually 25 minutes worth of badass dads. I think that's a pretty – you're not going to get that anywhere else, are you?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Not this badass.
This badass.
Come on, it's McCord. Darren McCord. And I got to say, in that movie, you know, it's easily my favorite Van Damme movie.
Yeah,
for a variety of reasons. But one of them is that, you know, Van Damme is really good in it. And he throughout, he looks like he's, even though his character is sort of a sad sack, it's just, he's kind of having fun throughout the movie, you know.
He's
not
taking
himself real seriously as an action star, you know.
Right.
He's just having a good time. And
he takes a beating. He'll take a beating, you know. I agree completely. In fact, it's probably my favorite of the Die Hard knockoffs, too, you know. There's so many Die Hard knockoffs up there. That one's probably my favorite. So, boy, We could go on and on about sudden death, but I guess we better call it here. So we'll get you to your Cubs game. Good luck. I'm really got to pull for the Cubbies here. We need them to lay us back down in Sabathia. And then I got to get to my burger. So happy Father's Day to all of our paternal listeners out there. And what else needs to be said?
Thanks. 10 points easy.